and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. Show number 146 on February 2nd, 2006. And we're recording at the Little Ranch House Studio here on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. The host for the show today, same as always, Don Shaw.
Mr. Tom, what in the world's going on with you on this nice sunny day?
Isn't it a beautiful day outside?
It is, man.
I've got a little mud in my yard from last night. But as far as being a beautiful day, it is beautiful. And yeah. The other guy, always, has been here since the beginning, Don Patterson.
Hey, Thomas, how's everything out in the big city of Burke?
Oh, man, things are just rolling along beautifully out here.
Well, it's beautiful here, too.
All right, my name's Tom Houston. Here he is, folks, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, Phil Parr.
Pretty exciting, isn't it, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we miss you, Tommy. We wish you were here with us.
But, well, I miss y'all. I really do.
We understand that the mud, it'll probably be raining next week.
When this happens on the big networks, they say he's on assignment.
He's got Tom Houston's on assignment. They do. Yeah, assignment to Burke.
Yeah, hell of a deal, isn't it?
An assignment in Burke.
Boy, wouldn't that be like prison?
We've assigned him to Burke.
Man.
Really and truly.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Anyway, we're glad you could join us even by telephone.
By satellite.
By satellite phone. Actually, it's my plain old, everyday phone. But I don't know. There's nothing much going on. We got a little good rain last night, though. We needed it.
We certainly did up here.
We did.
We need rain. We're still way behind on rain. My crop isn't growing, and you know what I would have as a crop.
Much for blind gardening.
So much for blind gardening. The gardening guy, I got a thing from the gardening guy today, Ernest, and he said that he was having an early spring, and he's liking that, but everything had bloomed, and he just wasn't sure about this early spring stuff. So, so are we having an early
spring. Yeah, no kidding.
I think winter's about to gone from...
So did the old groundhog see the shadow yesterday?
I don't know. Today?
I don't know. I knew it was
today,
groundhog day, whatever, but I don't really know.
I don't know.
Patterson, is our groundhog expert?
Yeah, I saw on CNBC, and I think they must have said that he saw his shadow. I'm not sure, because they were just talking about...
And what does that mean?
Well, it's 6 more weeks of bad weather or winter, I think.
Well, if it stays as bad as it's been being, it's going to be beautiful.
That's right. We're in good shape then, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right.
As bad as we've had it.
But do you know that we're talking about the warm weather and how this has not been really much of a winter, and like you say, I doubt that we'll have much more, but they say this is the warmest year we've had on record, since they've kept record, actually.
Really?
Globally and everywhere. I mean,
global warming.
Global warming. Well, it doesn't exist, does it?
I don't know.
It doesn't exist. I don't think. According to the Republicans, it doesn't exist. But anyway, global warming. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's been a kind of a warm. Yeah, but dry. You have the burn ban gone?
They took the burn ban away, yes.
Somebody may be listening to this show 100 or 200 years from now down the line, and they'll be able to answer that question about
global warming. Yeah, when the temperature's 153.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy, I guess you have some list mail that you
brought up. Yes, sir. This is a good one for you guys, because all three of you have swimming pools.
Okay.
This guy says, as I've stated before, my wife and I are new at pool maintenance. And here's a couple of questions I have for some of you pool owners. First of all, is it worth purchasing a solar water heater to heat the pool? You want to take it as we go? Because he's got several questions here.
Oh, not me.
No, not in our climate. Yeah. Now, he does say a little bit further on into this list mail that it's a normal climate. And by that, I guess he means there's a normal winter and a normal summer. I don't know.
I didn't know what he meant by solar. You mean something that the sun is going to run?
Yes.
A hot water heater? That's probably going to be really prohibitive.
It's a pipe system, a piping type system.
Oh, it is?
The water runs through, isn't it, Tom?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
I'd read the post. I think it is. I think it's some kind of solar cells that heat the water that goes through this piping.
Yeah?
I don't know how much the thing is. I have a comment I could make about heating pools. Someone was talking, we have a doctor here in town that was heating his pool, Olympic-sized pool, by the way, and he complained to the gas man owner, the owner of the gas company, about his bill. And the guy told him, I own the gas company, and I can't afford to heat my pool. So
you can't. There was a heater on at the North Street pool at one time. And I ran it a month, and that was it. I sold that sucker. I got rid of it.
Yeah.
Because it is just, you can't, you know, it's just cost prohibitive. You can't do it.
So I guess if you had one, you would want it to be a silver unit then, huh?
Yeah, I just don't know how effective that. I've never heard of one. I've never seen one.
Well, that's what he's saying in his next question. In another question here, he says, how much would it extend the pool season? There's no way to tell, is there?
No way. There's no way really to tell. You're gonna. What do you get? What do you figure? Of course, you said you swam until October this year, didn't you, Pat?
October the 3rd, I went in the pool. Well, you got to figure it this way: if you like to swim in the summertime and the water is 88 or 89 or 90 degrees, and you, in the wintertime the water is 50 or below, you're going to be trying to heat something 30,000 gallons, 40 degrees. And then when you get out, it's going to be cold.
I do know, though, that Sears and some other pool companies, though, for in-ground pools and I guess above-the-ground pools sell these solar blankets. And I have heard they will extend your range in the spring and the fall.
I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, that was the next thing he was going to ask about is this device that rolls up called a solar blanket.
Yeah.
He says, being that I'm totally blind, would this device be a welcome tool in aiding me in either extending the blanket out over the water to do its job or retracting it to get it out of the way for swimming?
I hate to admit this, but I've never seen one. I don't know anything about them.
Some of them have a roller system, giant roller.
Let me tell you another doctor story in Lufkin. The Clarks, Dr. Nick Clark, were going to cover their pool with a retractable cover, and they changed their mind because it was $10,000. So, I don't know what kind he's going to buy.
Yeah, the blankets aren't that much. They aren't very expensive. We looked at them before. For a 20 by 40 pool, I'd say probably a couple hundred just for the solar blanket without a roller system.
But the roller system, I guess, attaches to the concrete some way or another.
Some way.
On one end, like maybe on the deep end, and you'd roll it up under the diving board or something?
Yeah.
That was his next question. He said, where do you mount this device? This guy has an oval-shaped pool at 16 by 24 feet. And he was wondering if it would mount on the long side or the rounded side.
I don't know.
I think they would go down the length of the length.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
From side to side. In other words, it's going to be 16 or 18 feet wide. There again, if it's not mounted on a pulley system or roller system, I don't know how you're going to keep like the wind from.
I know.
We have some days sometimes that lawn furniture goes sailing through.
And
the
then
air.
One year, I got the bright idea of what we'll do to keep the leaves out is cover the pool. You don't want to do that because then when it rains, you end up with water on the cover, and the leaves are all on the cover. So how do you get the leaves off the cover? So I ended up buying a sump pump, and you put it out there and drape the hose over the swing and let it run down into buckets so you'll know when it's emptied the water. It was just a dumbest.
Pump the water off, yeah.
Oh, it was a waste of time. I only did that one year.
Now, I have heard of a leaf catcher's like a net now, and it will let the rainwater go through, but not the leaves and dirt, which might be a...
Put a big net over your pool?
Yeah, for what you did. From what you did at that time.
I would cover mine with dirt if they let me.
All that would be a pain in the butt. It really would.
A lot of folks are using a net type thing, too, as a safety device. If a child falls, rainwater can go through it, but it would catch leaves or a small child or animal or something.
I guess Ozman won't be swimming lately. Oz got hit by a car this morning. Poor old Ozman. Did you know that, Houston?
Do what?
Don's dog, Ozman. Ozzy got hit by a car.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's gonna survive. Both front legs are broken.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
No cuts, no blood, no nothing. Just
is Ozzy the three-legged dog?
No, he's the big dog.
This is the big dog.
Uh-huh.
This is a big dog. So
that's terrible.
So he's already got this three-legged dog. So two out of his four dogs are going to be crippled.
Yeah.
Isn't that a deal?
Little wheelchairs for dogs. We have nothing lift, in the back of your...
Power chair.
Power chair for those puppies. Anyway, go ahead.
That was Bryce. I hope we helped you out a little bit there, Bryce.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate to ask.
Listening to the book Woodworker's Hand Tools. He says, it's making me really jealous of people who can see marks made by a pencil or awl or scribing blades. So they can use lots of neat gauges and the like. Has anyone hit on a genius idea that would allow a totally blind person to mark things? This guy's name is Ralph.
Well, I don't know what he wants to mark. I mean, you want to mark mark off 8 feet so you can cut it with your chop saw? Or what, I don't know what you're trying to mark.
He didn't say.
Well, this device that the little gizmo slides down the wood piece that has a nail, a scribe on it, would be a handy marker thing for a precise
It'd be the only
mark.
Thing time I've ever wanted to be able to mark a board is when, you know, Robert Todd could take an 8-foot piece of plywood and mark it and cut 2 feet off of it just by starting at the line, watching the blade, and walking down the line. Now, I wish I could do that.
Oh, yeah, it'd be handy to be able to do that. It'd be not. It'd be useful, but
except with that guide I have.
But with the guide,
the guide, you don't need it.
You don't need it, and I can cut you a perfect 2 foot wide strip.
That's true.
If he's talking about precision measuring, you know, like say a finishing carpenter, you know, that's going to be tough because.
Yeah.
I mean, just speaking from a sighted, I have. You know, fair vision when it comes to measurement. I can use a regular measuring tape, but I'll tell you this: my cuts sometimes aren't any better than anybody. I mean, it's
than mine would be.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because it's hard to just be that precise, even with a but I would have somebody, what you just have to spend some time and do like this fella did for Phil, and set and get somebody to deliberately make you some. A half inch, an exact half inch, something.
Block.
And then an exact 1 inch, something.
An exact
then,
quarter inch, exact eighth inch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you stack them together, and then you're able to do what you want. Or this sliding thing that we talked about before that slides down, that Robert took a board, laid it on the table saw. He went an inch in, and he just came down, not on the table saw, on the chop saw, just made a mark. Then he went over another inch, made a mark. Went over another inch, made a mark, and I've got it. I can slide this thing down there and go 4 inches and tighten it up, and I know I've got 4 inches, you know, sticking out.
Pretty neat.
And Robert made that for me. It took him all of 15, 20 seconds. What was that?
How's that dog having a fit over a train, I believe.
Oh, is that Frankie having a fit?
Yeah.
We got an extra cell phone conversation, Molly. We thought we had that again. But anyway, marking things is pretty hard for blind people. But if you're just marking an old piece of wood, just take a nail and scratch your line in it. But you got to have a scratch awl in your shop. You got to have an awl in your shop with a good sharp point on it. And you can make a mark in your board there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know a little more about what he wants to. You know, there's a blind guy somewhere who builds furniture.
Oh,
we had a guy on that built furniture, didn't we?
Dale Evans. Levins. I think it's built.
He could build anything.
I think we was talking on this the other day about wanting to build this table, a double set of bedside tables or something. That
he was
talking
somebody
about.
Somebody was building a computer table also.
And
for his wife.
Yeah.
Now, who was going to do that? We had somebody who was going to do that. We told
him
to go to Walmart.
That was just an email.
We told him to go to Walmart and buy one, didn't we?
Probably.
I think we did, really. Well, you know, we haven't helped anybody. It's been months now. Yeah, the guy with the swimming pool, we didn't tell him a thing. He doesn't know any more now than he did. He didn't. He called us. It's pathetic, isn't it?
It's a hell of a thing, isn't it?
Here's a guy that's, here's somebody that wants some good directions. I say a guy, it's a girl. She says, my friend has some kitchen chairs, which she plans to reupholster, but she wants to paint the chrome tubing.
Uh-huh.
What should she do for prepping it for painting, and what paint would be the best? And this is Susie.
It's time for another question we can't answer. Yes, friends.
Yes, this has been one of those days.
I have no idea.
I'll tell you this. She obviously might want to paint them because it's rusty. The chrome, I don't know why you'd want to paint chrome. Chrome is going to be very hard. It's going to be like painting a galvanized pipe. What you'd really need to do is perhaps maybe rough up that surface a little bit, and then you're going to get a good primer first. And then I would paint, after I primed it, I would paint with Rust-Oleum, something that have good enamel in a spray can there again. And I think a blind person could use a spray can just get out someplace where you don't mess up anything. And I know that certain metals, certain finishes are very hard to maintain even after you've painted them. And I have a notion chrome.
She's painting the legs of the chair,
legs,
right?
Sounds like
you know what I'd do? I'd get a 3 foot long, 2.5 foot long piece of inch around or inch and a half around PVC pipe and stop up one end of that PVC pipe. But you could buy a cap to go on one end of that PVC pipe. And then mount that on something and fill that piece of pipe with paint and stick those legs down.
That paint's going to go all over you.
Tell you. Listen to me now.
What a plan.
Listen to me now. At the blind school, they had, listen to this.
Yeah.
At the blind school, that's how Mr. Edwards painted broom handles.
Yeah, but they had like a rubber gasket when they pulled it out. It kept the paint from splashing out and it sort of rubbed it off.
Well, you'd do it kind of slow. You could put a rubber gasket, you get a rubber thing.
I think the spray can Rust-Oleum's going to be much better.
Didn't care for
cleaner.
Didn't care for my plan, huh?
Yeah, what a deal. What a plan.
Well, wow. We could say buy a new table.
That's what I would do. Buy a new set of chairs, I think.
That might be the best thing to do.
It might be, Thomas.
I've got one more here if you've got a little time.
PVC pipe.
Read another one, Thomas. We love helping these
folks.
Says, I all got this trouble with my sink in the bathroom.
All right, this one we can handle.
When you turn off the hot water, it still drips. It's not like a constant stream, but it's not an every 5 second drip.
All right.
Or I would let it go. Well, maybe that is.
All right.
Anyway, I had Home Shield out to fix it. Just to find out they don't cover anything on top of the sink, just under it. I looked under there, and there are two hoses that connect the water to the knobs.
All right.
It seems as if they come off the shutoff valves and connect to the bottom of the knobs under the sink.
Yep.
My question is, how difficult is this to replace? Should I replace the whole unit, or is there some nuts or something I need to fix? For now, I just turn off the hot water side. I really don't need it there anyway. But it would be nice to have fixed.
He turns it off under the sink.
Yeah.
All right, who wants to do this one?
Thanks for any help you can offer.
You want me to? Don, you want to do it?
Yeah, go for it.
Go.
No, I don't.
Me go for it.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, you need to take the faucet apart. First of all, look in the middle of the handle. There's a screw in the middle of the faucet handle, or on the end where the shaft goes down into the faucet. There's a screw. Take that screw out and take the handle off the faucet. Below that, there should be a nut. And you need a crescent wrench, or you need a wrench that'll exactly fit it, and it's righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. Take that nut off, and with that nut will come a stem with a washer on the end of that stem. Take it to the hardware store, replace the washer, put the stem back in, and if it doesn't work, you're in trouble.
Yeah, time to call it a plumber.
Now, if it doesn't work, then you need to buy a little auger bit and take the seat out. There's a brass seat that washer goes down in. And you can buy a little bit and take those seats out and actually replace them. And
or you can buy a whole new top. I don't know if this is all one piece with individual hydrants or all in one, but you can buy a nice one for $35 or so and replace
set.
The whole.
You sure could.
Thing, which is probably what I would do.
Well, Tommy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We hope you have fun at home, and we miss you.
I miss you guys.
We miss
too.
You. We're gonna as soon as we get through the show, you know what we're gonna do. If you'd like to hightail it up here,
we'll be drinking a cold one without you.
Yeah, a cold one without you, big fella. Thank you much. We'll talk with you.
I'll be good.
All right, bye-bye. Bye. Well, all right, we'll go for the guest, and our guest is Mark Dew, I believe is his name.
Yeah.
And Mark has some rent houses, several rent houses. He's got this girlfriend that has lots of rent houses, and we're going to talk to him about maintaining rent houses and how to rekey locks.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
I know very little about. I don't know if y'all do or not.
I don't know anything about it either.
We'll know in just a minute. Mark Dew is our guest. Back in a minute with more of the Blind Andy Man Show. Hang on.
Available now through midnight February 11th. Blind My Smart has a special introductory offer. Get an 8-color blind handyman t-shirt for only $20 or a handyman adjustable cap for only $15. or get them both for just $30. This offer positively ends midnight, February 11th. Order online at blindmysmart.com or by phone at 713-876-6971. All major credit cards plus PayPal and personal checks accepted. Don't miss this special introductory offer. A full-color blind handyman t-shirt plus adjustable cap for only $30. Online at blindmysmart.com or by phone at 713-876-6971. You can be a blind handyman.
Even if you're a girl.
Oh, I like that.
A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Well, when Tom's not here, you don't get the big, deep-voice announcer that said, you're listening to the blind. You don't get that guy when Tom's not here.
You don't, do you?
No, you don't know what the hell he's, the deal is, but you don't get him when Tom's not here. We need to talk to Tom about that. But you do
we
get
do.
A guy that I did on the Blind Like Me a month or so ago that I found very interesting, and we got into the most interesting subject for me right at the end, and we didn't get to talk about it, so we thought we'd bring him on as a guest on the old Blind Andy Man Show. Mark Dew, how you doing, sir?
Mighty fine, Phil.
That's good. Are you smiling? Is the weather good? What's going on?
Oh, weather's been good, St. Louis. We had our third warmest January of all time.
Is that right?
That's right.
You still going with that old guy that's got all them rent houses?
Yeah, we just got back from one today.
Man.
Yeah, we did an inspection a couple of days ago, and of course he came up with a big list.
Oh,
as
yeah.
As usual.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, who's going to win the Central Division in the National League?
Well, the Cardinals are going to do that.
Cardinals are going
to do that. You guys know that.
We're kind of partial to them Astros down here.
I can understand that.
But you say that the Cardinals will not be on KMOX this year.
They will not.
That just disturbs me very bad. I've thought about that several times. I can't understand why they would move, since you can hear them all over the nation. Big Cardinal fans in Texas listening to the Cardinals in the summer. On
I imagine it has something to do with money, as usual. Anytime any business decisions are made, you know, usually money is the bottom line.
Everything has to do with money.
And of course, like I told you when I talked to you about that, the owners of the St. Louis Cardinals bought half interest in the other station that they're going to be using.
In this other station. Now, are they running ESPN Sports all the time or something?
No, it's just a regular standard station. It's a rivalry station of KMOX here in town.
Yeah.
They kind of dislike each other.
Yeah.
But
what is KMOX going to do in the summertime?
It's going to be interesting to see what KMOX does.
It is. It really is. But, sir, you're in St. Louis. You're close to St. You're not that far.
I am in St. Louis.
You're in St. Louis.
I'm about 6 miles south of downtown by the Arch.
Got them St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
Shot by your clothes at Famous Bar.
Yeah.
Is Famous Bar still open?
We still have one, but I found out last week they're going to change their name to Macy's.
Macy's bought it. Yeah.
But it still says Famous Bar on it.
It still says Famous Bar. Well, what did you find at the rent house today? Tell us about that.
Our inspector over there is a new fella. She's come in last year, and as a young fella, they tend to want to leave their mark.
Be overzealous.
Overzealous, trying to make a name for themselves, but they wind up making more enemies than friends, so to speak.
Yep.
And he's gotten where he just likes to nitpick little things like a house we just finished up. He found two outlets that were loose in the box. I had to pull the cover off and tighten the two screws up. One,
that's really a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, and it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that serious of a thing.
Yeah, I understand.
And
just nitpicking.
And he got me for each one of our flue pipes on the hot water tank and on the furnace going through the chimney has to have 3 screws for each joint.
And you probably had 1 screw in a joint.
Well, no, I had 2 screws. This particular one had 2 screws in it.
Yeah. So you got out your drill and machine, put a couple.
Yeah.
Well, big deal.
So, Mark, just for a little history here, when you rent a property, y'all, it has to be inspected every time?
Yes. Where her property's located, you have to have a... first off, you have to buy, a $25, $35. You got to get a work permit to even work on it.
Goodness.
To get the power turned on so you can just work on it.
Yeah.
Then when you're finished, then you have to get an inspection. And it has to pass inspection in order for them to get an occupancy permit, which the city charges them, the new renters get charged $50 for this occupancy permit.
Goodness.
Hey.
Okay.
The bureaucracy. Yeah. Long live the bureaucracy.
Yeah. That's pretty much the bottom line. It's controlled, of course, on the farm, you know, they ask who's going to be living there, how many people, what's your name, and all that stuff. It's kind of, in other words, they know everything about you before you even move in there.
Yeah.
But you got to go through this inspection, and he comes in there, and he walks through, and he checks the meters, the doors all got the latch. I had a closet door that wouldn't latch. I had to lower the keeper.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The service line coming in has to be grounded, with the grounding rod.
Well, it should be. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, a lot of these old houses were grounded on the water pipe, you know.
Oh, yeah?
And of course, that has to be changed. With people using plastic pipe now, you can't,
yeah.
You can't depend on the ground wire.
So you just put a ground rod in and tie the ground thing to it.
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah.
And he got me on a basement step that was tight, but it was, the house is an older house, but the step was just on a little bit of a grade. Not much. It wasn't flat, and he didn't like that. So I had to pull it off, take the little side panels head on there, and then level it out with the level and put the thing back and make sure the step was level.
Okay.
Little stuff like that he got me on, but nothing I couldn't handle.
Now, the first time you met this guy, you're totally blind. And the first time you met this guy, what did he say? Did he have any comments about your not being able to do the work? Or
no, I didn't have any problems with him on that regard, because the work that he never seen me actually do any work.
Yeah.
Because he got called in after the fact.
Yeah.
And he walks through like the normal. But the very first house that he inspected for me was a house that I did that was almost a complete rehab. I mean, down to ripping out walls, new drywall, countertop, sink, new cabinets, new kitchen floor. I mean, just about the works. And that house passed without one violation.
Really? How much of the work did you do?
Well, that was his first. He only been on a job maybe about 2 weeks at that point, and that was the first house that he inspected for us.
How much of the work did you in the remodeling?
I did about 80% of it.
About how much? 80%
of it? Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Bunch. But he didn't know that.
Well, no, we don't go around bragging about it because, people tend to, well.
Yeah, I know.
If you do that, neither they think you're lying or.
Yeah,
maybe I'd better take a closer look.
Yeah, closer inspection.
Blind man couldn't have done that good.
Yeah, we better inspect even closer.
Right.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
but he's pretty hard on you. Wants to make his mark.
Make your life miserable, huh?
Yeah. When I built this building, they built the forms and were about to pour the concrete, and here came the inspector, and he walked right to the place where the stump was, stuck his hand down in it and said, oh, there's a stump here. You're going to have to remove that stump. He knew that was there before they built the forms. Why didn't he tell me that about to begin with? Just being a jerk, you know?
Well, what he's done to us lately, and I'm a little upset with this guy, because we was there Monday for an inspection, and he had a list of stuff he wanted done.
Uh-huh.
And he's he's showing her the list, and she's reading the list to me.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, we got that, we got this and that and other.
Uh-huh.
Then he leaves, and then she goes down to City Hall the next day because she wants a copy of the list.
Uh-huh.
When we get the copy, there's two things on the list that he did that was not on the list when we left the house.
Oh, he added two things.
He added to it, and that you know, bigger stuff, and that,
yeah.
To me, that's not playing fair. That's not.
Oh, it's not, but there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, yeah, she's quite well known in that town, and she knows the mayors, you know, them political people pretty doggone well. This guy better watch his step.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
she's
got a little bit of pull.
Well,
so,
what a deal.
What a deal.
Yeah.
She knows the mayor, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right, maybe we'll get him, we'll have him gone. Who knows?
The ex-inspector.
I'm hoping.
What do you think he's doing that to you? What is your thinking? What is your theory?
Well, it's not just me, though. I mean, I hear that he's been doing this stuff to other people, but for the life of me, I can't figure out why he's gotten worse.
Yeah. Like, what big things did he add to the list?
He added a fascia board, about a 4-foot section of the fascia board on one side of the house has to be repaired,
uh-huh.
which is really no big deal, but I'd sure like to know about it so I can take care of it before he comes back for an inspection.
Okay,
and if she hadn't gone back to City Hall and got a copy of that thing, we wouldn't have known about it, and he'd come out again, and it wouldn't have been done.
It would have slowed you down.
Because what they generally do is, see, they'll write up the inspection, and then they'll send it to you in the mail.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have days to wait for inspections to come through the mail.
You're ready to rent the house.
Well, we got a renter, and they're ready to pay the rent. They want to move in.
Yeah.
Do you know, I could be wrong on this, but I think I am not. Where we live, if you're doing the work yourself and you own the house, there's not a lot they can do to you. I mean, you know, if you're going to pour a concrete slab for a garage or something, they can make you do that. But if you're like, I've never pulled a permit in my life. I mean, if I want to wire something or go, you know. And
well, I haven't either in my own home.
Yeah.
You know.
So, but I mean, y'all technically own the rent houses too, right? I mean.
Well, yeah, but see, you can't. These people have to get an occupancy permit.
Yeah, they have to.
The city won't issue them.
Right, I got you.
Until they do the inspection.
Yeah.
Ah, that's where they get you.
Yeah. Well, Pat, and you're not in the city of Lufkin. You're in Hudson.
Oh,
right?
No, but Billy Horton, when he built our house, he had to pull a lot of permits. The county, Angelina County's pretty strict.
Pretty tough.
Well, of course, when I was going to build this building, I wasn't going to get a permit, and I couldn't get an electrician to wire it until I did.
Well, yeah, they won't. They won't work, and you know, if they can't get the permit, and a lot of times they should get it instead of you going down and getting it.
Yeah, well, I ended up getting one. Took me a while, but I got. Well, I wasn't even going to get a permit to build this building. I figured it's on my property.
See,
do
like,
what I want to.
Like Billy Horton pulled a permit, obviously, to build our house. But when I built my garage, I've yet to, you know, I wired it, plumbed it, painted it, I did it, and I didn't pull a permit.
Yeah,
and I don't think there would have been anything they could have done to me. I mean.
Well, the tax man will come out, and he'll see that, and then we'll add to your taxes. I guarantee you that.
Actually, he's already came. He's already been, and he didn't. And it wasn't finished. And so he said, well, what are the dimensions? And I told him, and I said, 20 by 25. I said, of course, you can measure it. And he said, no, I'll just write it down here. And anyway, and that was it.
I'm amazed. Anyway, St. Louis, you got it. You better get a permit, hadn't you, huh?
Well, yeah. Actually, her property is right across the river from St. Louis. It's a town called Madison in Granite City, Illinois.
So she does know the mayor over there, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about locks. Let's talk about locks. You're one of your big things. You said, I think you said when you first met her, she had a box full of locks that were just discarded, that no
they
one
were
had.
Just boxes and boxes of locks. That they have taken off houses that they no longer had keys to, that renters had at time of moving, never returned a key.
Okay. And
during the time that they lived there, they had changed the lock themselves, and she had no key.
Okay.
So she was buying brand new locks.
All right.
And putting them on when she would redo the houses, she would take the old locks off and buy new locks put on there. Well, that's a waste of money.
What, $30-$40? Yeah, for a nice, for a decent lock.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What you can do is take a key you already have and make that lock fit that key.
That's correct.
That's what you do.
That's correct.
Okay. The keys that we normally have are usually smooth on one side, and then on the other side they have teeth.
Yeah, they are cut on one side.
They're cut on one side, and on the other side they're smooth, and they have a little ridge that they fit in as you slide it in the lock. Obviously, this little ridge adheres to something and keeps the key straight. It's on the side of the key, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It holds, obviously, that holds the key straight, and one side is perfectly smooth, and one side is ridged. All right, tell us, just start from the beginning and tell me how a lock works.
A lock, basically, the cylinder part is actually made up of two parts. It's made up of the cylinder housing and the cylinder itself. The cylinder housing and the cylinder itself, each piece has five little holes in it. And these holes hold pins. Now, the housing, the upper pins are all the same size.
Mm-hmm.
And above these pins...
That's the smooth side.
Well, it would be above the cut of the key. It would actually be up... It's kind of hard to explain it without actually showing you, because if you were... The idea, when you put the key in the lock,
uh-huh.
It pushes the pins up.
Okay.
Which shoves the pins above them up.
Okay.
It shoves those pins, the upper pins, up into their house, the upper housing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Leveling things off. So when the key's in all the way, all the pins are completely level.
Okay.
That allows the cylinder then to turn in its housing. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. If one of the pins was dropped down, that would block the cylinder from turning.
It would. If one of those pins, that's why you can't stick any old key in there, see, because even if you had a key that fit four of the pins,
yeah,
all it takes is one pin to be off, and it's going to keep that cylinder locked,
okay.
Keep it from turning inside the housing.
And right. That's why that key is... has different offsets depending on the pins you have in your lock, right?
There are five. That exactly is correct. That's why the different offset on the keys. There are five different sizes of pins.
And can you change those pins yourself?
You can change those pins yourself.
Okay.
Now, the easiest way, first off, it requires two tools. Which you don't have in your normal toolbox.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
And you can buy these for you can get a quick set or Defiant. A quick set is the one I usually buy. Toolkit for about $10. You get them off eBay all day long.
Okay, and it's called a quick set toolkit.
Correct.
Okay, can you buy them at the hardware store?
Yeah, you can't. To my knowledge, you can't buy them at the hardware store.
You can't?
I do know that Home Depot and Lowe's does not sell them.
Will the cops arrest you for having it? They call it a burglar's tool.
No, it's not.
Tell me again, one more time.
It's Quick Set. That is a brand of lock, by the way.
I know. Quick Set.
My two favorite locks to work with is Quick Set and Defiant.
Okay. Well, we have an eBay expert here with us who is going to find us.
You could do a
Quick Set.
I tell you, do a search for Quick Set
Toolkit.
Lock kit.
Yeah.
Now, some of the kits they have on there will be more expensive. That's because they're going to sell you a bunch of pins.
Okay.
A load of pins.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You really don't need all that. All you basically need is just the tools itself, because the very basic kit is going to provide you enough pins to rekey five locks.
Okay.
And the idea is behind it, when you take the lock apart and you re-pin them, you save the old pins because they're in good shape. Why throw them away? You know, you keep the pins from the old old cylinders.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you save those.
So you have an extra set of pins for another cylinder.
I'll explain to you now what these two tools do, if I can.
Okay.
When you put the key in, let's take the very first lock, if you ever try one, the very first one to work with would be a deadbolt lock.
Just a plain old deadbolt lock.
Plain old deadbolt lock.
Okay, I've got one I can take apart.
And, you know, and actually it doesn't really matter much if it's a Defiant or a Quick Set. They both will do just fine.
Uh-huh.
90% of your houses, I'd say about 50 to 60% of houses have Quick Sets.
Yeah,
locks,
that's
and
very
the other 30% or so are Defiant, and the other 10% is amounts about other five brands that don't mount to much.
Okay, Quick Set's what you want, though.
That's the one to start off with.
All right.
Now that the one tool, when you put the key in the cylinder,
all right,
it's going to make the pins level, so that cylinder will turn inside the housing.
Uh huh.
You're going to turn that key. I turn it completely the opposite direction. So, you know.
180 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay.
You open or close the deadbolt. Which one do you do?
Well, you got to take the cylinder off the...
Off the deadbolt.
You got to take it off the door.
Okay, how do you do that? Cylinder's off the door. I got the cylinder in my hand.
Right.
I got the lock in my hand right now.
Okay.
All right, now how do I... Okay, go ahead.
Okay, when you put the key in and you turn it, you know, 180 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you feel on the back side of the lock, there's going to be like a horseshoe clip.
Okay.
It's something like a cotter pin, but it's not a cotter pin. It looks like a circle with a piece of it missing out of it. I don't know. There's a name for that little thing there, but I don't know what to call it.
Uh huh.
And it looks like a circle with a piece missing.
Yeah,
you know,
it looks like a horseshoe.
I've seen that.
That's going around the back side of that cylinder.
I've seen that with a notch out of it.
With a notch out of it.
I've seen that. Okay.
Okay. Now you take a tiny flat blade screwdriver.
Uh huh. And pry that off.
You catch the back side of this horseshoe clip.
Uh huh.
And you snap her off there.
Okay.
And she'll slide right off there, right off the little notch that's cut into that back side of that cylinder.
Okay.
Now this is where you need a special tool, because there's a plastic fake cylinder that comes with the kit. You place that against the back side of the cylinder, and you slowly push the metal cylinder out of its housing while the plastic fake cylinder is going to take its place.
Okay.
You following me?
Yeah, kind of. Now, does it come out? I don't understand. You pop the little thing off the back to remove.
That's unlocking so the cylinder will slide out the front housing.
That was my question. It slides out the front of the housing.
That is correct.
And you just want this fake cylinder to take its place while you're...
You want the fake cylinder to take its place to hold the upper pins in place.
Right. Okay. I got
okay.
you.
Okay. 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 It's making sense.
Okay. Oh. Once you push that out, you can lay the cylinder housing aside, because that fake plastic
it's gonna
cylinder
hold. Yeah.
is sitting inside there holding the upper pins.
Okay.
Then you're going to have the actual cylinder itself.
Uh-huh.
In your hand, and it's got. And if you were to hold that cylinder in your hand with the key in it, you can feel the pins. You can feel all five pins.
Uh huh.
And you'll feel that those pins are level with that cylinder.
Okay.
So what you want to do? You dump out those pins.
Okay.
You take out the key that you the original key.
Uh huh.
You put in the different key that you want to use.
Uh huh.
When you put that pin in there, your key in the cylinder, there's no pins in there. All you feel is open holes.
Just you just slide
like holes on the flute on a much smaller scale.
Okay.
Now then you have some pins that you've gotten in with your kit.
Uh-huh.
And there are five different sizes. There's only five different sizes.
Okay.
And that's one thing I like about the fine ink.
And so you want to find the size that fits the notches in the key.
You find the size that fits that notch with the key in it that makes it level with the cylinder.
That makes it level with the cylinder.
And you got it.
Okay.
I got it, sir.
You replace all five of those pins. Then you slowly push that plastic fake cylinder out of the housing.
Put the new one in.
Metal one.
Put the cotter pin back on it and hung your own.
And put that little horseshoe, little pin, whatever the thing they call that, on the back side of it, so it doesn't come out the front.
I got you.
then your new key's working.
You know, Mark, I tell you, I admire you for doing these locks for one reason. I have fairly decent vision. I mean, I can't drive a car. You know, I'm a good partial. And the hardest thing I have with lock, I just put knobs and deadbolt locks in my garage that I've been building forever. And I invariably will strip out the copper or the brass screws. Man, you get about one shot at those. And I can't imagine a guy doing tedious work here like this. And I mean, I think I could key the lock easier than I could put the screws back in it to put it in the door. I always booger up a screw.
I don't understand that.
On
my new doorknob that I put on the other day, I've got one screw now that I'm going to have to go replace.
You're not putting lugs on a car.
You're
not tightening it. You don't need a lug wrench to do it. They're brass screws.
I just thought maybe Mark would have some advice.
I don't either.
Man, what a deal.
Once you've got it in your head, it's simple.
Once you've done one.
It makes sense, and it's no big deal.
Can you do the reverse? Can you make a key?
I don't.
I mean, but can a blind guy operate that machine?
No.
No,
I don't have an actual key making machine.
I wonder if a blind guy could.
Now here's where it gets a little bit more complicated.
Just not.
Now on that same cylinder, let's say you don't have that key, the original key.
Yeah.
Now, most cylinders, and this is one thing I like about Quickset and Defiant again, is you can change it. There's one brand I can't think of it now. The thing it's completely solid metal. The upper pins you can't get to them. But now on the Quickset and the Defiant, on the top of the housing of the cylinder housing, there's a cap up there. You can feel a little cap. It's about maybe not quite an inch long. Maybe about a little shy of 3/8 of an inch wide.
Uh-huh.
And this cap, you catch the very front of it with a flat blade screwdriver and you move it back. It slides off on like a track, which lets you into the upper pins.
Okay.
When it lets you in the upper pins, you're going to find springs and the five upper pins. Of course, when you redo the lock, you got to make sure you got to put the upper pins back in, the little springs back in, and hold the springs down while you slide the cap back on. It's a little bit more complicated.
It would be. Remind me not to do that yet.
Yeah.
But I would start first with just a lock that you already have a key.
Why would you need this is for a lock you don't have the key, then you have to do the upper pins.
Because you got to get them out of there to unlock it.
I got you. All right,
you got to take that top cap off and dump those pins out in order to get that cylinder out the front of the housing.
Right, because you don't have a key.
You don't have the key to unlock it.
I got you. Okay.
I got your point.
Which I do all the time.
Yeah, which can be done.
Which can be done.
I'm coming up there, and you're going to show me all this. We're out of time, but you're quite a guy. Now, in addition to this, you play keyboard every night at a club there in St. Louis.
Four nights a week.
Huh? Four nights a week. And you've been there how many years?
18 years.
Been there 18 years, and you play two keyboards at night.
I play two keyboards, bass pedals, with my left foot, and my drum machine.
And you're going to start with Shine on Harvest Moon tonight, right?
Well, seeing how Thursday's my night off, Phil.
Ooh, don't do it tonight, then. Stay home with Rent House Mama tonight. That's what I do. Listen, Mark, you're an interesting fella and quite sharp, and bless your heart. I thank you for...
Well, once you get this all figured out, you call me back sometime. We'll talk about how to actually do the bottom.
We got to have him back.
We'll do that.
Any chance you coming to Texas? I guess not. Listen, Mark, dear, thank you, sir, and we'll talk with you.
I think so.
All right. What a guy. What a guy.
Yeah, what a deal.
Seems to not have too many problems, and he knows locks. And I'm going to take one apart, and next couple of weeks we'll know a little more about
locks.
Yeah,
we need an old lock to experiment with, don't we?
I just happen to know where one is.
Yeah.
And like you thought I would.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about, Pat? Your
garage door.
Your garage door, overhead door, in just a minute. We're back with more of our little show called The Blind Handyman. Hang on.
Thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I have found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line, stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. They're here, and we know where they are. For the first time ever, Blind Handyman t-shirts and caps are available. Now through midnight February 11th, Blind My Smart has a special introductory offer. Get an 8-color Blind Handyman t-shirt for only $20. Or a Handyman adjustable cap for only $15. Or get them both for just $30. This offer positively ends midnight February 11th. Order online at blindmysmart.com. Or by phone at 713-876-6971. All major credit cards plus PayPal. And personal checks accepted. Don't miss this special introductory offer. A full-color Blind Handyman t-shirt plus adjustable cap for only $30. Online at blindmysmart.com or by phone at 713-876-6971. You can be a blind handyman. Even if you're a girl.
Oh, I like that.
It's the new Magic 102. I'm sorry. I'm carried away. All right, here we are back with more of the exciting, Blind Handyman Show, number 147.
What
Don?
A deal.
Number 146.
146, I'm sorry. Overhead doors. Tell me about overhead doors.
Well, all right, for the listeners that have been following this, starting September the 15th, a year ago.
Was it 2 years ago or three years ago?
No, just one. One year and these months. And these months.
I thought it was 2001, wasn't it?
I am... Now we're pressed for time. You're encroaching. Anyway, and I, for all practical purposes, am saying that I am finished. It's painted. It was taped and floated. I have two more fluorescent light fixtures to put up, and then it's a done deal. I have locks on the doors.
All right.
And
strip screws.
So the guys came and put up the overhead door.
And if I made any mistakes on the building, it was in the worst place it could possibly be. My garage door is not perfectly square.
Oh.
No, their trim covered it. But if it would have been another inch or so, I would have had major problems. And the sad part about that is I'm fairly precise and precision oriented, and they make excellent tools to keep that from happening that a blind guy can use. I mean, a square, for gosh sake.
Yeah, a square.
And so, but the one place that I made the mistake you don't want to make is like on the door opening, it needed to be 16 feet. And so probably at the top, I'm like 16 and 3/4 inches, 3/4. And so they put their weather stripping, and it covered it. And so that's the only problem I have. But anyway,
you're finished.
I'm finished. I'm calling it. What are they in the newsroom? They signed 30. They say they're through with it. So after 18 months,
call it a day.
I'm finished.
Speaking of squares,
and it turned out really nice.
You should have seen this cabinet me and Shaw built one time.
I saw the toy box out here.
We got a little off. I don't know.
A little out of
square
there, just a bit.
Anyway, I don't think we ever used a square. Even got the one off at all. Period. All right, so it's good enough.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, right?
Keeping these doors square. What a deal.
Square. But your door's up and down?
It runs perfect, and the guy did a nice job. And like I say, his trim covered up my mistake. Yeah. So.
And did the guy say, well, next time you do this project, let me build the door frame?
No, the guy told me that about the sheetrock.
I know.
But,
that's what I was thinking.
He did,
about.
Didn't he? Let me do the...
But he really taped and floated it out nice. It's beautiful. I mean, it's
all
you
right.
could live in it.
Well, you may have
I may have to.
A giant doghouse, huh?
Donald Patterson, thanks, sir. We appreciate your help, overhead doorman. Donald Shaw?
That was a overhead door company, was a garage door company somewhere.
They
good name for those folks.
What's the name of the thing you're going to hunt on eBay?
It's a quick set tool kit.
Let us know.
Yep.
I'm Phil Parr. I see you said the blind man. We'll see you next week as he picked up his hammer and saw.